Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the second reading for this weekend's readings, we have St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And this is probably one of the most profound and prolific passages in all of Paul's epistles. It says, "That I, Paul, might not be too elated, because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me. But was said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Now, people throughout centuries have debated what Paul was referring to as far as his suffering. No doubt, Paul is telling us that he is suffering greatly. That's why he begs the Lord 3 times to relieve him of the suffering. Now, some scholars believe that Paul suffered from a speech impediment. And Paul addresses that in Romans. He specifically says that he had a problem speaking. Other people think that it's a physical ailment or abnormality. Well, whatever it is, Paul suffered greatly because of it. So then what can we take from this? Well, the suffering must have been incredibly great for Paul, for him to specifically add it to this letter to the Corinthians. Whatever Paul does, whether in words or actions or in writings, it's always intentional. So then it begs the question, why? Why does Paul write about it? I think he does it to teach us how to endure suffering in our own life. No one is immune from it. We all either have suffered in the past, maybe are suffering right now, or will suffer something. Suffering comes in many different forms, whether it's psychological, emotional, the loss of a loved one, or physical. In fact, I would argue the greater the person, the greater the suffering. Regardless of whether the person is an influential politician, maybe a Wall Street broker, maybe somebody that is famous, a famous movie star, an athlete. The greater the person, the greater the suffering. And yet, what is Paul really trying to teach us in the second reading from Corinthians? He's trying to teach us that first, God will give us the grace to endure the suffering, and then he will allow us to be used as an instrument of his grace to help others in the midst of their suffering. I'll give you a great example. Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, I just finished my second biography about him. Abraham Lincoln suffered all of his life from depression. In fact, when he was elected president of our country, he took his depression with him to the White House. There were times in which his depression was so great he couldn't sleep at night. He would roam the halls of the White House in the middle of the night. Lincoln personally felt responsible for the Civil War to the extent that he was terrified of being alone in a room in the White House. Somehow, when he was alone in a room, he had this overwhelming feeling that the room would fill up with the blood of all the dead soldiers of the war that he caused. Well, his depression intensified greatly when his young son, Willie, died at a very early age. 10 or 11 years old. There were times in which Lincoln himself would sneak out in the middle of the night and go to the graveside of his young son. Once he even had young Willie's body exhumed from the grave so he could just see his face one last time. His depression and the loss of his son took a toll on Lincoln, and yet historians would argue because he suffered such, that's what made him such a great leader and a great president of our country. Why? Well, it was because his suffering that Lincoln was now able to enter into the suffering of a nation torn apart by the Civil War. Lincoln was now able to truly feel with great compassion the suffering of a country that was in need of healing. More to it, because he suffered the loss of his son Willie, now he was able to enter into or identify with the suffering of the families that lost so many in our nation's Civil War. And there were many. There were thousands and thousands of families that lost father, son, brother, nephew, uncle, even grandfather. Well, see, now Lincoln could identify with their grief, since he also was grieving a loss, in this case of his son. Because Lincoln suffered so great from his depression and the loss of his son, he now identified himself with the nation that was hurting so much. He knew exactly what the people were thinking and feeling in the loss of their loved ones. See, this led Lincoln to become such a great leader and president of our country. Because of his own suffering, Lincoln had a deep down feeling of the pain of all the families that suffered from the Civil War. And he worked tirelessly to heal that, to heal the nation. When the war ended, when Lincoln's own political party wanted to punish the South for starting the war, he wanted nothing to do with it. In fact, his motto after the war was, "Malice towards no one, charity towards all." See, it was precisely in Lincoln's suffering that he was able to identify with a nation that was suffering also. He knew their thoughts, he knew their feelings, and then set out to heal a nation. And he did just that. I'll give you another example. Mother Teresa, I just finished her biography. Mother Teresa, her biographies have come out over the past 10 years since she died. The majority of the biographies are all based upon her personal diaries and letters. They're not based upon personal conjecture or opinion. Now, what's so amazing is that Mother Teresa suffered. She suffered greatly. What she suffered from? She doubted God's love for her. Now, she struggled immensely with this. She truly doubted that God really loved her. And she suffered for decades. In fact, 30 to 35 years of her ministry, she truly wondered whether or not God truly loved her. Now, we all know Mother Teresa. She's a modern-day saint. She did incredible things, work in this world. She started her own order, the Missionaries of Charity, an order that now expands across the entire world. They work exclusively with the poor, the homeless, the dying, the sick, the suffering, those people that are malnourished. And she did a wonderful job of caring for them. Like Lincoln, Mother Teresa didn't allow her suffering to get the best of her or to control her life. Like Lincoln, she allowed her suffering to become a vehicle, an instrument to help the people that she ministered to. Think of it. If Mother Teresa never experienced that suffering first, the suffering of wondering whether God truly loved her, how would she be able to sympathize and identify with all the poor of this world? The destitute, the dying, the homeless, the people that are malnourished. Those were the people that truly felt that they were abandoned by God because of their very condition. Well, now Mother Teresa, she identified herself with them. She knew their thoughts. She knew their feelings because she had the same feelings and thoughts herself. And then what did she do? She set out to heal them. That's why she's a saint. And see, that's exactly what Paul's getting at in the second reading. You know, throughout our life, there are times in which we suffer. We can't avoid it. Again, the suffering comes in many different ways. It comes in emotional, psychological, or physical suffering. And yet, we can use it. We can use it to help others. And I think that is at the heart of Paul's message for us. Now, notice Paul's passage here. He says he begged the Lord three times for God's mercy. Three times he begged again and again and again. So we can only conclude, obviously, this is no small problem. This is a great problem for Paul, for him to be begging the Lord for relief. And how often do we do the same thing ourselves? You know, in the midst of our suffering, we beg the Lord, please, Lord, take this away from me, even for just a few moments. But notice God's response to Paul. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. You know, that's a powerful statement. In the very weakness of our suffering, God first gives us the grace to endure that suffering. But more to it, he allows us to be used as an instrument of his grace to do great things in this world on behalf of others that are suffering the same plight. Lincoln, he was a great leader and a great president because he suffered, and therefore he identified himself with a country that was also suffering and in turmoil. Mother Teresa, well, she became a saint because she could identify with the poor people in this world, people that felt they were abandoned by God. Well, she too had those same thoughts and feelings. Therefore, she knew exactly what those people were going through, and therefore she was best able to minister to them. How about Paul? Probably the greatest of all the apostles. It was precisely in his suffering that he could now identify with a church that was suffering from the great persecutions of the Roman emperors. And see, that again lies at the heart of Paul's message. With God's grace, yes, we can endure our suffering, but we can also do great things with it. We can identify with people who are more or less in the same boat as us. We can help them, encourage them, and get them out of their suffering. Notice what Paul says at the very end of the passage. I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses in order that the power of Christ may dwell within me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul clearly recognizes the power of Christ in him. Paul realizes that in the midst of his suffering and his weakness, the power of Christ and Christ's grace gives him the ability to endure the suffering, whatever it is. And more to it, because Paul now is able to identify himself with the church so that he can be used as an instrument of God's grace to help others. Well, so too with us. In the midst of our suffering, we must seek God, call out to him, and he will answer. He will give us the grace so that we can endure the suffering, whatever it is, whatever form it comes in. But most importantly, to be used as an instrument of his grace in this world, to identify ourselves with others, and then be able to help others in their suffering. And see, that's why this passage is so beautiful and so powerful. It's such a great lesson for us in works of charity and compassion. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.